the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. On this second Sunday in the 50-day season of Easter, we call this day by many names. The second Sunday of Easter, Low Sunday, because during normal times, the attendance is fairly low today in comparison to the great attendance of the Feast of Easter a week ago. Some affectionately refer to today as Doubting Thomas Sunday, because always, the gospel lesson today is the story of Doubting Thomas, and indeed today also the sermon text. In the early church, many called it Dominica in Albis, the Sunday in white, linking back to the tradition of the Neophytes wearing white garments. As I mentioned in last week's sermon, in the early centuries of the church, most Christians' anniversary of baptism was Easter, because Easter was the only feast and the central feast for the sacrament of baptism. And Lent was the preparatory period for baptism. And those preparing for baptism on Easter day were called Neophytes, because they were new to the faith and new to the sacrament. And on their day of baptism, on Easter day, they were given, with great ceremony, a white garment to wear for their baptism. And these are the words that accompanied that white garment. Receive this white garment, and see that you wear it without stain to the judgment seat of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, that you may enjoy life everlasting. And they were baptized on Easter day in that garment, but did not divest of the garment on that day, but would wear it for the entire ensuing week of Easter week, every day going to Mass, participating in Mass, and receiving Eucharist. And then on the Saturday following Easter Day, yesterday, they would finally divest of this white garment. And the white garments would be laid all throughout the church, so that on the next day, on this second Sunday, all the congregation would view this white garment and be reminded that the baptism day was the greatest day of the Neophyte's life. And what has become of this ancient and venerable tradition? There are still vestiges today. When we baptize a baby, we often baptize a baby in the white baptismal gown, linking back to that white garment. Today we give a lighted candle, to the newly baptized, and the words that accompany the white candle capture the spirit of the words that accompanied the white garment. When we say, receive the light of Christ, so that when the bridegroom cometh, thou mayest go out with all the saints to greet him, and see that thou dost keep the grace of thy baptism. And then on Sunday, the second Sunday of Easter, the Neophytes would come to church, the garment being laid out, but they would come dressed in normal clothing to take their part, to take their position in the life of the church, in the councils of the church, the duties of the church, the habits of the church, to begin from that time forward a life of maturity in Christ. And that maturity would take place through a lifelong relationship with the sacrament of the Eucharist, of Holy Communion. So today we honor the two great sacraments of the faith on this second Sunday of Easter, the sacrament of baptism and the sacrament of Eucharist. They are called the great sacraments because they are needed by all Christians, if at all available, if at all possible. Not all of us, for example, need the sacrament of marriage for salvation. Not all of us need the sacrament of ordination for salvation. Not all of us will have the privilege of receiving the last rites when we die. But all of us, if at all possible, if available, have need of the sacrament of baptism and the sacrament of Eucharist. And the story of Doubting Thomas helps us to understand how dear these sacraments are. They help us understand how to approach them worthily and how to cherish them. So let us begin with the sacrament of baptism. In the story of Doubting Thomas, remember that there are many stories of our Lord's appearances after his resurrection, many of them, but the most well known is the story of Doubting Thomas. Even people who are not religious, who do not know many of the stories of the Bible, seem to know the story of Doubting Thomas, because it happens to just strike a chord in our souls. Well, Jesus appeared the very day of his resurrection to his disciples, if you remember. But Thomas, and we're never told why, Thomas was absent. And so when Thomas comes back, the disciples say to Thomas, Thomas, the Lord, we've seen the Lord, he's risen. And Thomas proclaims that famous statement, unless I see the wounds in his hand and put my hand in his side, I will not believe. And then 8 days later, we have today's story when Jesus appears to Thomas. Hi, Thomas. Here are my wounds. Put your hand in my side. No longer doubt, but believe. And Thomas then utters the most beautiful, the most vulnerable, the most holy words a human being could possibly ever utter. My Lord and my God. Thomas met the Lord, and the story point is that Jesus took the initiative to come to Thomas. Thomas would never have found Jesus. We talk in our religious language over and over again to seek the Lord, and we should. We talk about finding God in this place and that, and we do. But ultimately, it's God who finds us. And that is one of the great symbols of baptism. Baptism has many symbols. One of the central symbols of baptism is God's initiative to say to a baby or to an adult, I love you first. Before you make me happy or mad, I love you first. You are my own. I have my hand on you and I would never take it off. If you are faithless, I will be faithful. God's initiative to love us first. And Jesus took the initiative to come to Thomas. And Thomas responding, my Lord and my God. So this is a day that Doubting Thomas teaches us how to appreciate our baptism. And how is a way that we might appreciate baptism in a way that we not take it for granted, that we not think of it casually? Well, one suggestion might be to simply remember the day that we're baptized. I ask you, do you know the day that you were baptized? If you do not, attempt to find that day and then hallow the day. Set it apart for works of hospitality and mercy and giving. Make it different that it may remind you that we have been baptized. In the first church where I served as rector, I remember a man in very late middle age years joining the church after being away from the institutional church for many years. He remembered, he knew that he had been baptized. But he could not remember the date, and he could not find the records for the date. So what he did is he chose a date. He loved the date of November 1st, the Feast of All Saints. He said, that will be the day that I remember how I was baptized. And he would that day offer hospitality, and he would give for the needs of others. And he would make the day different, and he would give thanks for the fact that God took the initiative to say, I love you first. Let us never take casually our baptism. And if we ever do, let us close our eyes and think of the story of Doubting Thomas, how Jesus took the initiative to come to Thomas, because that's how he comes to us throughout our lives. And now the sacrament of Eucharist. What a beautiful thing Thomas teaches us about Eucharist. Jesus comes to Thomas and says, Thomas, okay, you see my wounds. Put your hand in my side, in my wound. Every time we approach the altar to receive communion, we do what Thomas did. The ancient way of receiving communion, indeed how most of us receive it, is on the hand. Also can receive it on the tongue. But the hand is a beautiful ancient tradition to receive the sacrament of Holy Communion. And every time we receive the sacrament, we do what Thomas did. We place our hands in the wounds of Jesus, in the grace of Jesus, in the love of Jesus. And our souls scream, whether we hear it or not, my Lord and my God. And as we go through life, placing our hands in the wounds of Jesus, this sacrament of the Eucharist, we do what the neophytes began to do the second Sunday of Easter. We begin to mature and grow and walk in a lifelong journey of Christianity with the Lord Jesus. And so you might say, Father John David, why would you preach about the joy of receiving Holy Communion during a worldwide pandemic when the opportunity, the privilege of receiving communion is ripped from us, when we are having to take a forced fast from the receiving of Holy Communion? But the Holy Spirit still works during these times of fast. Christians in past centuries often have been forced to fast from receiving the communion through a pandemic and plague and persecution and war and oppression. But still the Holy Spirit bathes them. And one of the ways that the Holy Spirit bathes us during this fasting time is to help us gird ourselves and nerve our arms, never to take the sacrament of Eucharist for granted again, never to take it unworthily, never to take it in a casual sense. And when we do, to remember, to close our eyes and envision Thomas placing his hands in the wounds of Christ. And when we come back to this physical altar and we lift our hands to receive. We can envision our hands in the wounds of Christ. So today in the sacrament of baptism, in the sacrament of the Eucharist, may Thomas the Apostle teach us to pray until the very day we die, to breathe from our souls the very day we die, the five most holy words, my Lord and my God. Amen.